crazy line by Apple with this is
Which line?
He says, he's talking to Aesop, he says, it's like I've seen God, it's like I've similar to seeing God's face.
So why do you think he said that? Why did they say, I've seen...
Maybe more of like a backdoor way of saying, like, it's not God's face.
And therefore...
the angel of God. And, like, you know?
So why is he telling that to Aesop?
Because, like, he wants to, like, put a little bit of fear in him.
That's what it seems like, right? That's certainly Rashi's pshat. That he saw, I even fought with your malach. I'm still standing.
Yeah.
So that gives Aesop an impression this guy is a little beyond me. So the beginning of the Aliyah Revit, so it says that it doesn't tell us that Yaakov instructed them to do this, but it does say that all of his wives and all of his children bowed down to Esav. Now, of course, nowadays we read something like that and it sounds like a little bizarre, like, why is everybody bowing down? But we know that that was something that people used to do all the time. It was just a way of greeting people. Certainly, even nowadays, it's something that happens usually more in Oriental types of places. In fact, there's a whole comparison recently between the way that former President Obama bowed down to the Emperor of Japan, and the way that Trump did.
King Salman bin Muhammad.
What do you mean?
He was in Saudi Arabia.
No, I was saying recently when Trump went to Japan.
Oh, yeah.
China? Or whatever it was. One of the two.
They definitely bowed in Japan.
Shinzo Abe.
Yeah, where's he? Anyway, they were saying that the way that Trump behaved was that he just shook his hand or something like that. I think that's all he did. But Obama had like bowed down like very, very far. So it's just interesting. Even today, everyone pays attention to different nuances and what that means and what it connotes and what that means for the relationship between the two. So in any case, it doesn't mean that this is any form of worship, Pastor Shalom. Just means to say that that was a form of greeting that hopefully would give the implication to Esav that we are subservient to you. Yeah, as long as it's not a form of worship, it's just a form of greeting. There's nothing wrong with that. You still play karate and all those things, right?
So, the only person I bow down to you is God.
Well, it's because you're not married yet. But in any case, so just like everyone, when Trump went recently, was commenting on what the connotation was of Obama's bowing too far, according to many. So that was an expression that people paid attention to. It meant that I'm subservient to you. And it's not appropriate for the President of the United States to act in a way that expresses subservience to the Emperor of Japan, China, I don't know, whatever it was. Yeah? So here, but that was the message they were trying to send. They're trying to say, don't think that we have anything against you, that we're going to attack you, or that not. In fact, we view you as in control of this area. I don't know. They don't express clearly exactly, but clearly that's the implication of certain degree of subservience, and that's what bowing means, right? That's what bowing means. What's interesting, the Rashi points out, and this is the very beginning, the second pasuk. So the first one to do this is the Shvachos. So Bilhah and Zilpah and their children are the first ones to do this. Then comes Leah and her children, and they bow down. So when you read it, there are three groupings here. Yeah? I don't know if you know it. There are three groupings. First pasuk says, V'ktigashna ha-shvachos. The maidservants, Heina, them, doesn't say their names, which is interesting. V'yaldehen, v'atishtacha bena. So who's listed first? Number one, of the three groupings, there are three groupings. There are the Shvachos, Bilhah and Zilpah, and their children. Leah and her children, Rachel and her children. It's interesting, Bilhah and Zilpah are not named, they're simply referred to as the Shvachos. Okay, that's one remarkable point. Interesting. But the order is Heina v'yaldehen, them and their children. Then comes Leah and her children. And then came Yosef and her children. Wait, no, that doesn't work. Are you with me? Them, them, the women, and their children. Leah and her children. And Yosef and Rachel. Obviously, the pasuk is doing this to get your attention. It could have said, and Rachel and her child. Why does it suddenly change it? Did Yosef go in front of Rachel? You know, there was a time when this happened in the reverse. When we're talking about Lavan and Besuel, it seems that Lavan liked to speak before Besuel, jump out in front of Besuel, and Rashi criticizes him. You see that Lavan had no respect for his father. So this is a big question mark, no? Why in the world is Yosef, it seems like he's jumping in front of his mother? You hear, right? Yeah? Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Different situations calls for different orders.
So what do you say? What's going on over here?
I don't know why he did it this way. I can't read into the reason why he did this order now. But I would assume it has to do with the people they're dealing with.
Okay. Anybody have any suggestions? So you hear the question. The question is, when I talked to three groupings, the very beginning of Elia, it says that when they were coming, and Asa was actually finally there. Until now, it was all anticipation. Anticipation with the Malach, anticipation with sending gifts. But now Asa is there. So first comes the Shvachos. They're not named Bilha, Vizil, but we know their names. They're called the Shvachos. Hena, then Vialdehen, and their children. And they bow. Then comes Leah and her children. And they bow. And then came, who's left? Bilha, Zilpah, and their children. Leah, her children. Rachel, and her child. But it doesn't say that. It says, then came Yosef and Rachel. That's later. Correct, that's later. But the question is, if I were, you know, if this is one of those jokes, you know, the kids like to trick you. They like to get you to say something, and it rhymes or whatever, so you're going to say the wrong thing, or whatever. Anyway, so here, the Shvachos, them, and their children. Leah and her children. Yosef and her children. You with me? There's something wrong here in the parallelism of the psukim. Again, them and their children. Her and her children. Yosef and his mom. Right. Sounds like Yosef jumped out in front of his mother.
Yeah, because she was so beautiful.
Okay, so you read Rashi already. So you're ahead of the game. But the question that we need to fill in our kishkes is there something wrong in this pasuk? Is something going on here? Why is Yosef jumping out in front of his mother? So that's where Rashi's coming from. Rashi's quoting a medrash, and Rashi says, so Adam says, I wouldn't know, because how am I supposed to know what's going on over here? So it's clearly in the case that I mentioned to you where Lavan is jumping out in front of Besuel. So okay, so then you can say it was not necessarily a nice thing. But here, maybe it is. Maybe it is. So Rashi's pshat is what? What is Rashi's pshat?
That she was so beautiful, she was wanted to protect her from Esau.
What does that mean, protect her? What was the danger? So that's the question, right? Is that what it is? Let's think this through. You know what? Let's do something. Okay, well, let's ask a question, and then I want us to read Rashi, and I want to see if Rashi gives us an answer. The question is, without reading Rashi yet, Max read Rashi, and why am I doing this to you? I'm doing this to you because I want us to be as precise as we can, because sometimes we make certain assumptions when we learn, and if you're really careful, you'll notice that maybe that's not exactly the pshat, and you'll see a very interesting insight. So let's see if it happens here, maybe it doesn't. Let's see what happens. Max learned Rashi. Guys, come on, pay attention, listen to this. Max learned Rashi. The question we all know, why all of a sudden is Yosef in front of Rachel? Rashi writes something along the lines of, Rachel was very beautiful. So Yosef wanted to get in way of the vision, in the line of vision. Why?
Maybe Esav.
Okay, maybe there's a physical danger. Maybe Esav would decide to start a war and take her. Maybe Esav would just stop kidnap her. Maybe, what are the possibilities?
A lot of possibilities.
Let's list them.
Well, he could kill her.
He would kill her? Why would he kill her? Out of jealousy.
Out
of sheer jealousy. If I can't have her, neither can you.
Exactly.
Okay.
So death, kidnapping, rape, anything.
Sounds like the nightly news over here. It's interesting, David pointed out that if you remember, Leah was originally supposed to marry Esau, but she cried and she cried and she cried. And tefillah with tears is always answered. So she ended up not marrying Esau, but now that she married Yaakov, Rachel got very nervous. Because maybe now it got switched, and Rachel couldn't get pregnant, maybe she's supposed to marry Esau. Throw that into the hammer. So what I'm asking you, is it all practical, pragmatic concerns that was what was in Yosef's mind? It was all practical? Let's take a look at Rashi. I just want to see what Rashi says. Where is this Rashi? Anybody have it? No. It's in Pasuk Zayin. If you can grab a chumash or share one, that would be great. Osios machkimos. Looking at the letters makes you smart. You see a lot more when you see the words.
It's Paraklam Gimel still, right?
Yeah. The very beginning of Lamed Gimel. Pasuk Zayin. Lamed Gimel, Paraklam Gimel, Pasuk Zayin. Nigash Yosef v'Rachel. Have it?
Rashi, right?
Yeah, we're in Rashi. Lamed Gimel, Zion.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. Here we go. Max, can you take a look and move Adam or something?
Yeah, I'll go.
You have another one? Okay. I'm doing this to you for a reason. I want to show you something. And I think it's very important. And maybe you can even share it with others over Shabbos. Nigash Yosef and Rachel approached Yosef and Rachel. Rashi's obviously bothered by the question we asked. Bekulan haimos nigishos lifnei habonim. In all of them, the imos approached before the children. Avol b'Rachel, but when it came to Rachel, Yosef nigash lifaneha. Yosef approached before her, in front of her. Why? Zokter Rashi, Omar, he said, imi yefas toyar, my mother is beautiful. Right, Max, that's what you said. My mother is beautiful. Shema, what's Shema? Shomer, what's Shema with an aleph? We have all kinds of gzeiros Shema. The gzeiro is Shema, something happened. So we don't have normal English words, but the fancy English word is lest. Shema means lest something happened. Perhaps, but the problem with perhaps is not the same thing. So before we go Vayitin Rashi, the word Shema, like you find all over the place in Chazal, there's a gzeira, Shema something happened, lest something happened. So the word in English, perhaps, is not the same as lest, and many point this out. In Hebrew there's a word called ulai, which means
maybe
or perhaps. And there's a word Shema, which means lest. What's the difference? Do you hear in your ear at all the difference between the two? Well, perhaps this will happen. Lest this happen.
Less, more in preparation for
it. Say again, how do you say it?
It's like more in preparation for it. Like you're saying less, like I'm doing this lest something happens. Like I'm
okay.
Preparing for something to happen.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah, I don't know. So like you could use that in more general language, right? Less is more of a...
Yeah, let's work it out. What do you say?
You use it in like two different you use like maybe in a...
Let's try to figure out the difference. Where do they differ? Don't you have an idea?
Because perhaps it's like a certain thing.
So I think the way that it's used in general, and I think the Vilna Gaon is on record saying this in the Hebrew terminology, is that ulai means maybe, but it's in the positive. Maybe this will happen. And it could be something you want to happen. Lest, Shema, is a negative. You don't want it to happen. You with me? You hear this? Ulai, perhaps, maybe, is a positive. Most of the time, if not all the time.
That's not necessarily true.
In Hebrew, the ulai.
Maybe
that's the Goyim's rule, which is very interesting if you plug it into other places. Yeah. But in English also, it could go either way with perhaps Maybe, but lest, I don't think it does. Lest does not.
I think that the class is always in the brain, like it's
yeah, but
like,
meaning because you want to avoid it.
Yeah, you want to avoid something.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
So the word Shema is that we want to avoid it. So whenever you find a gzera, Shema, something happened, we're making this gzera unless it happened because we don't want it to happen.
When you use that language, like the rabbi trying to say, like, you might think to do this, but
yeah,
you
that's
just,
what
like,
I'm saying.
For Shabbos or something,
yeah,
right?
That's what I'm saying, exactly.
That makes sense.
That's the word Shema. The word ulai either is more general and could go either way, or is specifically in the positive that we anticipate it's happening and it's not a negative we're trying to avoid. The goin, if memory serves, is on record saying that it is positive. And therefore, when you have Eliezer ben Avrom saying, well, ulai, she won't want to come back with me. So he had an agenda. That's what Chazal said. And he had an agenda that he wanted her not to come back because he wanted Yitzhak to marry his daughter. Otherwise, he should have said, Shema, she won't want to come back. Then what do we do?
Are you meaning he wants her to come back?
He didn't want the girl that he was going to get to come back. That's why he says to Abraham, ulai, she won't want to come back.
If you say Shema, you would say that.
That's what you expect him to say.
You want her to come back.
Shema means, and you know, lest she doesn't, like, what do I do?
Yeah, if you want her, you actually.
Which just sounds like what he meant. Then why did he use the word ulai?
That's interesting, because in that case, he's using Shema to say an action that he wants to act.
He didn't say Shema, that's the thing.
But I'm saying, if he did, just think about theoretically, if he used Shema in that situation, the person that's using the language would want whatever to happen to actually come to fruition. Right?
You would not. That's the lest. Listen, I don't want this to happen, but if it does, what should we do?
But no, he's saying lest she should not come back with me.
Right, which would be
meaning,
bad.
Meaning he does want to come back. He wants her to come back
right.
to him, if he used that language.
Yeah.
Over here, but he's using Shema in the opposite like kind of connotation. Because maybe there was like a negative put in front of the first proposition over there. Because he said not coming back to me, and this is like lest Esav do something.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
The other case was if he used Shema, it was Shema not something. This is Shema.
Yes,
some positive.
Okay.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but it's the same the same concept.
It's
correct. You're correct.
Like the logical,
yeah.
Like...
Okay, so now. What's Yosef concerned about? Amar, he said, Imi, my mother, Yafas Toyar, she is beautiful. Shema, lest, Yitlaba Einav. How do you translate that? Yitlaba Einav.
He will be pleasant.
Well, literally, let's to be tole something.
Oh, what
to hang, called? Right? Yitlaba, he will hang in her, ain't of his eyes.
That's pretty, that means her eyes are like profound.
No, it's his action. Lest he, yitlaba, ain't of, that he gets hung up on her, right? That's a good English way to translate it. That his eyes get hung up on her.
Like, you know, the classic.
Right. Shema yitlaba, ain't of, oso Russia. Lest the eyes of that Russia's, lest his eyes get hung up on her. Amoid kinegda, I will stand kinegda, or opposite her, right?
Yeah.
But in the way. Va'akvenu, and prevent him milihistakel ba. Well, how do you translate lihistakel? Good. To gaze at her. To gaze at her. In other words, to notice that she's there and to see that she's there, and you know, a chance look is one thing. But litlaba eino, to hang his eyes on her, I mean to gaze at her, to stare at her, right? That's what the word histakel means. So yeah, it's just an etymology. You have to work out the word.
But there's like extra like prefixes like mille histakel from
From doing it.
From doing it.
Yeah. Albert Wingsen?
It's not so on the Yosef was blocking by the people who are intrigued to see what the mothers are minded.
Okay, you have a good point.
If he notices that all the other mothers are blocking their kids and then that there's one that the son is blocking the mother, wouldn't he actually be like, isn't that compelled to
it could be. It could be. That's a good point. It could be. But apparently Yosef thinks that's what he has to do.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, but apparently Yosef thought that's what he needed to do.
Maybe Yosef is that much bigger than Rachel, but you couldn't see Rachel behind you.
Okay, wait, let's finish this Rashi and try to work out this Rashi, because this bothers me now. Mikan, from here, Zacha Yosef, Yosef merited, The birkas, the bracha of
Aliyayin.
No.
Aliyayin.
Allah means go up, above. Ayin. Not Shmiras Ayin, but he's above what? What type of Ayin? He's above Ayin. Ayin Hara. He was zochet to the bracha of being above and beyond Ayin Hara.
Where is this applied?
What does that mean?
Okay. Okay, okay, little by little. Let's work this out. Could be it's related, but Rashi doesn't seem to relate to that either. Rashi only is related to this. He had a zechus of this, and he merited to be above Ayin Hara. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, there's a lot we can connect to. Okay, slow down. Here's what I want to know. First things first. First things first. What was Yosef's concern? Right, Max, goes back to what you said. What was Yosef's concern? Adam had a whole bunch of things that he listed. This sounded like the nightly news. So, what is Yosef's concern? Now, if you're writing this, Rashi, and you want to express one of these concerns, so how would you write this, Rashi? That Yosef went ahead and put himself in the line of vision between his mother and Esav because he was concerned that... Yeah, you would say that? That's not what I know what it says here. I said, if you're writing Rashi, and you wanted to express one of the concerns that Adam had, that because she is so beautiful, it's going to cause problems. So then you would say, if you want to add he's going to gaze at her, you could, but that's not the point. The point is that she's so beautiful, which Rashi already said, and he was afraid, Shema, what? He'd take her. Shema, he'd start a war. Shema... Rashi doesn't say any of those things. What does Rashi say? Lest he? That's not the point. Adam, you gotta hear this. Rashi doesn't write what you suggested. Rashi doesn't say that, again, let's just read it inside again and change it the way we want it to read.
I'm smarter than Rashi.
Right. But cool on you most. Follow with me. Yosef nigash lefaneha. Yosef approached in front of her. Amar, he said, "Imi yafas toyar, my mother is beautiful." So now we know that that's what's going on here. Is that we know that Yosef wants to get in the way because she's beautiful. That's we know that at this point. One second. Shema. He what?
We don't know.
What do you mean, you don't know? Lest he take her. Lest he kidnap. Rashi just told us that Yosef got in the way because she's beautiful. So we know that's what's going on here. Yosef's concerned. She's so beautiful. And so the concern was lest Esav what? Adam, you with me? Lest Esav kidnap her. Lest Esav rape her. Lest Esav kill Yaakov and take her. Rashi says lest he gaze at her. Yes, he wanted to protect Esav.
No.
He wanted to save Esav's neshama.
No, that's going to lead to something else.
And Rashi never says it.
It's not like this one.
He never says it.
Think about it this way. Well,
he never says it.
I think just common sense just to deduce that.
If you were writing this, Rashi, I promise you would not have written it like this. You are trying to figure out backwards how it fits into your chat. I'm being serious. Because you never would have written like this in a million years. And Rashi did this for a reason, and that's why Rashi says at the end he was zoichet to be above Ayin Hara.
I'm not trying.
According to you, he would have been zoichet to be above people attacking him or raping him or something. I'm being serious. Rashi did this for a reason, I think. Dabba, what do you say?
I think Rashi is right just by saying that because most people, I think, wouldn't want someone to look at their mother like that. So Yosef obviously didn't want to reach out to look at even look.
But your point is that Yosef's concern was for the staring.
Just even staring.
It doesn't make a difference what it leads to. You hear? You agree?
I think it's pretty crazy.
What is going on here? That's what we need to figure out. Yeah, Albert.
Like Adam said, it's necessary for him to stare for everything else to happen.
Right.
Exactly.
So the Shema is not in the gazing. Because that's the catalyst. The Shema is that something's going to happen because of it.
No, but in order for the Shema to even occur, you have to have part one.
Okay. Okay. You win. You write this Rashi for me. No, no, no. You write Rashi the way you want it to read. Let's go. No, I have a better idea. Someone just walked in the room that has no idea what we're talking about. We're going to use this. We're going to use this as a test. This is a test. Okay, Jeremy, I need your help. Okay. Yosef stood in front of Rachel when Esav met her. He wanted to be in the way because he was afraid, according to some people here, he was afraid that Esav, because Rachel is so beautiful, that Esav was going to do something. Now, maybe he would just rape her. Maybe he would kill Yaakov and take her. Maybe, I don't know, maybe he would just start a war. Maybe he would kill her out of jealousy that couldn't have her. We don't know. But he was concerned for these things. So I want you to write in your own words. How do you express this? But the sentence I want you to use is, I mean, you can use however you want, but the idea is, this is what you're going to say. You are writing Rashi, and you say, the question is, why did Yosef stand in front of Rachel, didn't have any of the other mothers? All of the other mothers and children came behind them. All of a sudden, by Yosef, it says Yosef was in front of her. Why was Yosef in front of Rachel? So the answer is because Yosef knew that she was beautiful. And, go ahead. It could be. That's our... No, 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 we're assuming that's true. We're assuming that's true. How do you express that?
You have a situation. Try to explain why Yosef went in front of Rachel.
In other words, I want you to write the Rashi without seeing the Rashi. If the concern is... If the concern...
Well, I definitely don't think that it said that he was concerned that Esav was going to kill him. Why would he stand in front of her if he was afraid of being killed? That makes no sense.
No, this is his father. Yosef, not Yaakov. Well, maybe Yosef too. Okay, you're right. But we're assuming right now that the reason Yosef did it was because that way Esav doesn't stare at her and doesn't end up doing something about it. He can't really see her, so, you know, he won't really notice and won't think about it. He'll go on with his life. But the concern was that he's going to do something drastic, that Esav is going to kill or who knows what. So just in your own words, right, how do you say that? How do you express that in a sentence? Yosef stood in front of Rachel because he was afraid. Go ahead. Afraid of what?
Why can we just be general and say that he's afraid of doing?
Okay.
Why do you have to?
I guess you don't have to be.
I
guess you don't have to. But what would you say? Would you say he was afraid of Esav? What would you say? Doing something drastic, yeah? Okay, so now say it in a full sentence. Why did, ask it like this, right? We'll say the whole sentence now. Why did Yosef stand in front of Rachel, which was not true about any of the other mothers? Because Rachel was beautiful. And Yosef was afraid. And Yosef was afraid. What?
But why would that happen? Why would that happen? And let's say he didn't stand in front of her.
Why would he stand in front of Rachel specifically as opposed to any of the other mothers?
No,
of the other children stood in front of their mothers. Yosef stood in front of his mother because she was so beautiful, he was afraid. I don't know. Okay, it's an interesting idea, but let's zero in on this. Let me ask you a different question. Would you write something like, Yosef stood in front of his mother.
Yeah.
Okay, back up one step. Rachel was very beautiful. And Yosef wanted to stand in front of her because he was afraid that Esav would stare at her. And leave it at that. Does that express the point?
No.
Why not?
And
I'm staring at her
knows like
danger.
Yeah, what's the danger?
But no, just say that. That's all you need to say, right?
Danger.
Yosef was afraid he would stare at her, right? Doesn't that mean, and therefore, he would do something terrible and drastic?
No.
Exactly.
Okay, there you have it.
It's not.
What are you talking about?
That's argument. That's ridiculous argument. That's Albert, yeah. If I go on
the train, I can't
believe somebody because that's going to rape them.
Well, there's so many more.
Okay. Wait. Everyone gets a chance. Quiet. Okay, Albert has the floor.
Because it says like Esau had my brother.
Yeah.
So maybe because no one really knew how he would react when he saw
Okay, but still the concern at the end of the day is for what he's going to do. The concern is not for the gazing. The gazing is a possible catalyst for the problem. Gazing's not the problem. Gazing, like, right, Jeremy? That's exactly what you said, right? The gazing's not the issue. The issue is what the gazing's going to lead to.
Facts.
So that's the problem in Rashi. Rashi's not saying Yosef was afraid of what was going to happen with Esau, what he's going to do about it. Yosef didn't want him to gaze.
What's the reason?
What's the reason?
Well, the obvious reason is that he doesn't want to address it.
Rashi doesn't say that.
But Rashi, okay, so Rashi doesn't.
No,
Rashi,
that's not the chat in Rashi. This is how you learn Rashi. That's what I'm trying to tell you. What I'm trying to tell you is that when you read Rashi, you have to trust him. Rashi is telling you exactly what he means. Rashi was one of the greatest gedolim in the history of the world.
But Rashi also has some confidence in us.
Rashi doesn't just let you use your imagination because he doesn't finish his sentence. And the raya to it is the end of the Rashi because he says that's why he was zeichet to be above ayin hara. That's the connection and that's the proof for the way I'm reading Rashi. Is because what does ayin hara have to do with it? The answer is because that's what he prevented.
If Esau
had gazed at Rachel, it would have created some type of ayin hara. That's the Mida Keneged Mida. No. He did it for the sake of his mom. Raise your hand if you want to talk. Adam.
It seems like from what reward he got from it, it seemed like he was getting he did it because of Esau.
Why would he get the reward?
Because he didn't want Esau to have that iron hara.
No, who's okay? Stop! Stop!
You can't say
stop.
What is going on?
Let me explain. This is very simple. If Esau would have looked at Rachel, he would have gazed at Rachel because she's beautiful. That would have created an ayin hara on who? On Rachel.
But it's also preventing Esau from having that ayin hara.
No, on Rachel. Are you with me?
Because Esau would have.
Esau had the ayin hara, so therefore he's preventing Esau.
It's not an ayin hara for Esau. When a person drives around in a Ferrari and everyone stares at him, it creates an ayin hara on the person driving the Ferrari. Because everyone's judging him, and everyone's wondering what he has to deserve it. And everyone's thinking whatever they're thinking. Now, in this case, it might be different. Because we're not talking about a person that has something that's jealous of. That might not be the issue. We'll get to that in a minute. What? That's also true, but not true. Because Asa has to be shomer his own in ayin. By him preventing Esau from having the opportunity is maybe a nice thing to do, but Esau didn't learn anything from that. No, it prevented ayin hara from happening to Rachel. That's the point. Yeah. Are we together now?
Yeah.
So that's the yesod. So what I want to finish here with is what does it mean, this ayin hara over here? So this is the last point that I want to make. Let's just try to wrap it up. What did we say?
Wait.
What?
It also doesn't even make more sense because there's an ayin hara of Yosef, the brothers.
What?
Remember when all the brothers were getting jealous of Yosef?
That's later in this.
But he just married him. Didn't he just marry and not have an ayin hara out of him?
Yeah.
But
how did he get it back?
He just got it back.
But he had an ayin hara?
Yeah.
He did all kinds of things that got him in trouble. That's the bottom line. If you go around and you criticize your brother,
I don't know what you're like. I don't understand this. Like,
it sounds like he got merited that if he got a Ferrari, no one would look at him. And then like 20 years
okay,
later,
okay, I hear your question. Ferrari, fine. Okay, fair enough. Good. Fine. So we'll have to come back to it another time. I agree with you. That's an interesting question. Good. Fine. I accept your question, but it doesn't change that we're learning the rest. So we started off. We started off with a pasuk, two pasukim, that are strange. The question is, how come it says the shvachos and their children, Leah and her children, Yosef and Rachel? That's the question. They all bow down, but what's going on over there? So Rashi was bothered by this, and actually Rashi actually asks the question in this case. We know what was bothering Rashi, which is unusual for Rashi. Here he does ask the question. And he answers, Yosef wanted to get in the way, so Esav wouldn't stare at her. Not the consequences of that, that's not the point. The point is that Rashi wants us to know the gazing would have been a problem. Why is the gazing a problem? Rashi doesn't actually totally spell it out, but what he means is reflected by his last line. Mikan, that Yosef was zoiche to the bracha of Ali Ayin, he'll be above Ayin Hara. Which reflects that that's exactly the Mida Keneged Mida, is that he prevented the Ayin Hara. The Ayin Hara, what does that mean? Because if Esav would have gazed at Rachel, it would have created an Ayin Hara. So I want to finish at this point, so if you want to share this with anyone over Shabbos, this is how you should finish it. And that is the, one of the most important elements of Tznius. Tznius is a shmira. Tznius protects us. Right? You heard me over there in the corner over there? You heard what I said? Something very important for the rest of your lives. Tznius is a shmira. Tznius does not only apply to women. It applies to any situation of Ayin Hara. We have to behave. We have to act in a way where we are not trying to put ourselves at the forefront. We are not trying to show off. We are not wearing things, doing things, whatever it is that is showing off, that is trying to be out there, that is presenting ourselves to people in a way that people will judge us, be critical of us, stare at us, whatever exactly the case may be. In the case of a woman, it's just because he's going to have all kinds of thoughts and who knows what about her. And that's dangerous. And Tznius protects us from all kinds of things. And a woman should always think about that whenever she gets dressed and whenever she's presenting herself. And a man should always think about that whenever he's doing something and he's getting in front of other people and he's driving, whatever he's doing, whatever he does. Tznius is a tremendous shmira from Ayin Hara. Yeah?
So I understand from the way of dressing and stuff like that, fine, I'm not going to talk about that. But more about someone's opportunities. Should someone sacrifice opportunity to be humble?
Depends on what it is. In other words, a person's humility.
Meaning, let's say someone gets an incredible job somewhere,
I'll answer your question like this. Your question is, should a person sacrifice certain elements
prestige.
Of publicity or prestige out of humility because he wants to avoid Ayin Hara? The answer is, it depends how humble he is. Because I define humility as a person that's not doing it for himself.
What?
A person is humble. Listen to me carefully, because this is, I believe, MS La'amitoy. A person is humble when he's not trying to express himself. He's trying to fulfill his purpose in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you these talents for a reason. If you're utilizing your God-given talents, which are your God-given talents, but they're God-given. When you utilize your God-given talents for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have that in mind, and you say to yourself, does this further HaKadosh Baruch Hu's agenda in the world? If the answer is no, this is just about you getting power and prestige, then you're right, you should shy away from it. But if this does further HaKadosh Baruch Hu's agenda in the world, that's called humility. You may want to do it in a way where it gets the least attention possible, but sometimes things are necessary. A person gets up to the Amud, he has a beautiful voice, and he's going to daven for the tzibur. That's a risk of Ayin Hara. But he's doing it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's doing it for the tzibur. And if people know that, and if he's doing it for that reason, it will prevent Ayin Hara, because he's doing it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Two comments.
Yeah.
I understand completely what you're saying. First comment, the only thing that worries me is that it will create a lack of innovation. Because if you're telling people you always have to think about what your God-given talents are, you maybe shouldn't use them in certain situations. There should be I think no matter what, if you have a talent, you should always use it, no matter what. Because it's always gonna further that, and if you have the right intentions, it's always gonna further you shouldn't have to have everyone else's thoughts about you in your head at a certain point. It's not fair.
It almost doesn't matter what other people are thinking. It does matter. In other words, Yeah, there's a balance here, I agree, but it's more focused on you than other people. There is a concern for other people, so the Mishnah and Shkalim tells us.
So if you have the best intentions in your head, it doesn't matter where other people
are. To a certain extent.
Okay, fair.
There is, at the end of the day, a pragmatic concern, because the Mishnah and Shkalim tells us that when the Kohen that was in charge of getting the money out of the chamber that the money was kept in, he wasn't allowed to have any pockets or anything that had anything that any. If you would walk out and get rich, you know what people would say? You know why he got rich? He was stole money. If he would get poor, you know what they would say? You know why he got poor? He stole money.
Why?
He can't win because he's being punished by God. He can't win. So for that reason, they outlawed him of any pockets or anything. It was clear that he couldn't have anything anywhere on his person. It was just obvious to everyone, and that's the only way he was allowed to go in, because he can't win. And Moshe Rabbeinu tells Reuven, Gad, and half of Shevet Menashe, I'm making this deal with you. You better keep it, and you have to be clean in the eyes of Hashem and the Jews. It's easier to be clean in the eyes of Hashem than in the eyes of the Jews. People are always judging, you know? You're not supposed to. We don't have to go on. But people judge. So because of that pasuk in Chumash, the Mishnah Shkalim says that practically we do things based on that. We have to behave in a manner where people can never suspect us of doing something wrong.
That's, I feel like that's so crazy.
Wrong, though. In other words, wrong. Now, in your case of innovation, in your case of a person that's trying to do something, so he has to ask himself, am I doing this l'shem shamayim, or am I doing this for fame, fortune, and money?
The thing that bothers me a lot.
Can we just want to finish that statement, right? So then the idea is that if he really is doing it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he is doing whatever is necessary to prevent people from thinking he's doing anything usher, so of course he should go forward with it. He should ask a Shaila, Gedolim, you know, if it's a really innovative in that sense, he should ask a Shaila, make sure this is a good idea. But if he is, if he's doing L'shem Shamayim, he will. He'll ask people. And then they'll tell him it's a great idea. And then he'll go ahead and he'll do it. Yeah.
This is a good segue to my second part of the comment. It's like, I speak with Yosef a lot about this. It's like, it's a very difficult balance between like Judaism and self-interest and disrespect. Because we're human beings. We always look out for ourselves, which is natural, which we should look out for ourselves, usually before everyone else, right? There's a choice between Jamie dying or me dying. I'm like, always going to choose me dying. Like,
that's a halacha. It's a halacha.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
If there's one canteen, in the desert, it's your canteen. You don't split it and both of you die.
Yeah.
You let Jamie die. Whoever has the canteen.
In this case, though, in this discussion, we're saying that one has to let their self-interest.
What do you mean?
Because, like, what?
But it's your self-interest versus a Kaddish Baruch Hu. That's the difference.
No, because if I have the opportunity to make $10 million, have prestige, be famous, why shouldn't I? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, I'll answer your question. I understand. It's obvious. Because the Gemara Chazal tell us that if a person is arrogant, then he throws a Kaddish Baruch Hu out of the world.
Okay.
So if a person's doing something for the reasons you described, he is kicking a Kaddish Baruch Hu out of the world.
But it's usually not because he's arrogant, meaning you don't become arrogant before you get where you get, right? You become arrogant once you get there and you have experienced that part.
Okay.
So you can,
could be.
Usually it's like that, right? You're never arrogant because I might be a millionaire one day. You get arrogant because I'm worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Right? I'm not worth anything right
now.
If I become arrogant, maybe I'll become arrogant. Never before.
Okay.
You don't ever do anything because you have, oh, I want to become arrogant.
What's your point?
So, your point is arrogance. It's good, it's bad, you throw God out of the world.
Yep.
Whenever you're making that decision of self-interest, you're never in that place of arrogance yet.
You are doing it for a reason. Everyone does behaviors for a reason. So you have to ask yourself, if it's a decision that you feel is an important decision, an impactful decision, and you're struggling with it, because you're not sure if you should do it, for religious reasons, for whatever. So you have to ask yourself, am I doing this for pure self-promotion, or am I doing this l'shem shamayim? L'shem shamayim could mean different things. Shem Shemayim could mean that here I have an opportunity of a tremendous business deal. And keep in mind, a business deal that's going to make me a profit of $1 million means that there's going to be how much money going to tzedakah because I'm giving my ma'aser? At least 10%, if not 20%. So that could very well be l'shem shamayim. Or a person could be thinking to himself, I am going to be in the newspapers if I do this. Well, that's bad.
But sometimes it's better.
A person can convince himself otherwise. A person can go ahead.
I can rationalize this in a lot of different
ways. Are a number of scenarios where there. Oh, let me try to figure out the last one I heard.
I'm sorry that I'm taking over the conversation, but I just, this is like a.
Yeah, we're gonna finish with this. We gotta go. We gotta go to the end tomorrow. listen to this. I will leave you with the following word. Listen to this. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, "Havi kavod chavercha." You know this Mishnah? "Havi kavod chavercha." How do you translate that? "Havi kavod chavercha." The respect of your friend. "Chaviv alecha." As precious to you. "Kishelcha." As your own. The honor, the kavod of your friend should be as precious to you as your own. What does that mean?
So the more arrogance you have, the more kavod you have.
Okay, fine. Now.
I'm serious. I can say it that way.
Once there was a certain Rebbe who traveled to a certain town, and obviously he was going to be receiving a lot of kavod. He was going to be given all kinds of kavod, and he was concerned. Because he didn't want to be an arrogant person, and he was afraid that when he presented himself to the public, he was going to end up feeling a certain degree of gaiva. So he decided before he went out, he was going to lock himself up for a while before he came out. Yeah. So there was a chassid or two, or the gabbai or whoever, was listening at the door to see, hear, what he was going to say. And he heard him saying again and again and again this phrase in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Heavy kavoid chavercha, chaviv alecha kishelcha. Heavy kavoid chavercha, chaviv alecha kishelcha. Heavy kavoid chavercha, chaviv alecha kishelcha. And after some time, he emerged and went on with his life. So the gabbai, whoever it was, at some point approached the Rebbe and said, you know, Ischata Nimaskarim, I was listening. Please tell me the pshat. Why did you do that? What did you accomplish? Like, what is that supposed to mean? What did that have to do with what you just did? Right? Because it doesn't seem to be related. Yeah? So you know the answer? Because the way I interpreted Hevi kavod chavercha chaviv alecha keshalcha, kavod chavercha doesn't mean the honor of your friend. I mean, that's what it means, pashat pshat. What he interpreted it to mean was the honor of your friend. The honor that your friend gives you. The honor that your friend gives you should be just as special as the honor you give yourself. Wow, Rabbi, you're amazing. You're a great speaker. You're the coolest guy in the world. Try saying that to yourself a few times and see how well you feel after you tell it to yourself. It's meaningless because you know yourself, and complimenting yourself is meaningless to you because you know yourself. It doesn't add anything to what you knew before. But when somebody else says something to you, oh, now I feel good about myself. Now I feel good. He said, I had to convince myself that any comment that I heard should be no different than I said it to myself. And when I really felt that, and I started saying to myself all the things I anticipate hearing and how ridiculous they sound, I was able to emerge, and I was able to hear whatever they said because it was meaningless to me at that point.
But I think one has to be
cognizant
of what...
You hear what he's saying, right?
Yeah, I understand what he's saying, but I think, for example, let's say... there's a Rebbe who's extremely moving, like he inspires thousands of Jews every year. He's like, oh, I too much honor, I gotta get away from these people. And they're not inspired anymore. And people just like, wow, you know, like,
correct. So he has, but that's what he did. You're saying Chad and what he did. He didn't abandon them. He just prepared himself to be able to do it in a way where he could maintain his L'Shem Shamayim. Because he was L'Shem Shamayim. He is trying to help him. That's what he wants to do. But a person that's in that position is at great risk of tremendous gaiva. So he has to convince himself it's L'Shem Shamayim, if for real.
It's more about yourself than like what other people are doing.
Well, because you can't, because otherwise he's going to become a bel gaiva and then he will fail that. And then he will not be their leader anymore. He'll be a piece of garbage.
Exactly.
So he had to maintain his leadership of his neshama.
It's a battle.
Okay, but everyone, here's the pshat in the Rashi. You learned Rashi very well today. Okay. You should pay.
I'm not going to
Right. Everyone has their own.